gentleman who broke the junior hockey union story once again from the Star in Toronto. Rick Westhead joins us. Rick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm terrific. Thank you.
Rick, the first thing that caught my attention in your article was that, Jules Lupien telling you the only way maybe a Canadian Hockey League union can work is if the NHL Players Association gets involved. Do you think that's realistic?
I think that's probably a real fair statement. Many of the other unions that might be involved in this, whether it's Unifor or, pick your large private sector union, it's going to be all too easy for critics to argue that they're trying to grab cash and charge junior hockey players union dues. And the NHLPA, Gilles Lupien's argument is, listen, these are future players. So if helping to oversee junior hockey right now prevents some of the problems that Lupien says are widespread in junior hockey, then it's in everybody's interest for them to help make that happen.
What are the biggest problems right now in junior hockey?
Well, again, there's a myriad of problems if you listen to the likes of Lupien. And I think, to be fair, we've got to have both sides of this. I mean, the Canadian Hockey League and the three leagues under it contend that there's nobody that's really as well-positioned as they themselves are to correct some of the mistakes that they say they've made along the way. Whether that's addressing issues with the scholarship fund where players can go to school after they finish their junior hockey career or whatnot. But Lupien still argues that, and he did present in the article a number of problems. I think the biggest one that I took away anyway was the travel. And he makes a really interesting case about how can any of us expect that players 15, 16, 17 years old can, over the course of 2 or 3 years, maybe be traded twice, travel many thousands of miles over that time frame. He was explaining to me that in the Quebec League, one of the teams would travel from Rouyn-Noranda to Cape Breton, the equivalent distance of Montreal to Winnipeg in a car, a 26-hour trip. And when you're coming back from those types of trips and you're arriving back in the city where you're being billeted, where you're playing at 3 a.m., do you know any 15, 16-year-old that would be ready to go to school and really learn 6 hours later? I don't.
Yeah, Rick, that's a good point. I traveled on those buses with the Kamloops Blazers in the early and mid-1980s. I saw it firsthand. The school, the hockey, now we get into revenues that don't trickle down to the players. They get a stipend, essentially, that's next to nothing. A lot of merit in this case, but the question for me, and it sticks with me, a couple of years ago we had this push. I still see this name, Glenn Gumley. Now, that doesn't change the issues, but does that complicate matters at all that he's involved in this second push?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that he's a toxic figure. And just for your listeners, the Gumley brothers, there's Glenn and there's Randy. They are really persona non grata in organized hockey in Canada. Randy Gumley used to own a junior A team in Streetsville, Ontario, the Streetsville Derbies. And at one point tried to organize a tournament for prospects to go over and play in France in front of many scouts, or so he said. Hockey Canada blew the whistle on this, told the French Ice Hockey Federation that it wasn't a sanctioned team, and the trip ended up getting canceled. Gumbly sued Hockey Canada for defamation and a bunch of other allegations. The case was actually dismissed, and fast forward to 2 years ago, and it was all too easy for Hockey Canada and the CHL to argue that the only reason that the Gumley brothers were taking this forward was because they had a personal vendetta against the organization, Hockey Canada and the CHL. Mm-hmm. Again, I think you put it, really properly, which is we can't take away from the issues. It's too easy to get distracted when you start talking about a controversial character. But I don't think there's any question that Unifor or whichever union is going to push forward ahead with this, if they can, just announce straight up that they've cut ties, that the Gumbleys have nothing to do with this effort, it's almost as if you've got another union starting and you're going to have someone like Alan Eagleson involved again, right? The name, it just would not work. Although in Alan Eagleson's case, he was convicted and went to jail, whereas the Gumbleys haven't been convicted, although one of them is facing a fraud trial in Montreal in January.
Talking Junior Hockey Union with Rick Westhead from the Star in Toronto. He broke the story. We're actually going to hear from the head of Unifor later on in the program today. Rick, from all your in-depth reporting, looking into this story, outside of, you know, separating maybe from the Gumblies, what's going to be the biggest challenge to unify this? Because is the fear factor from players to join the teams might try to bully them?
What a great question and great great issue for us to contemplate. I think absolutely. I think Gilles Lupien did put it really well when he talked about there being, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about this, there's a real shut-up-and-play culture in hockey. You know, and it's not only hockey. I was thinking about this a little bit after Lupien explained it to me. His position was you don't have players put their hands up and say they're not happy with the status quo because they're worried that their coach, that their GM won't play them anymore. It's no different than a newsroom. I don't know too many reporters, you know, at the Toronto Star who would put up their hands and tell management we're really unhappy with how you're treating us, just like any workplace, right? And we're talking about in you know, the newspaper business anyways, journalists who've been in the industry for decades. Now, how do you tell a 16-year-old kid who has put everything he's got and his parents have put tens of thousands of dollars into his or her, their dream of his, you know, advancing into professional hockey, how do you tell them to take a risk and risk being benched or, you know, blackballed because they're speaking out for something that they might believe in but be too afraid to talk about?
Yeah, exactly, Rick. I mean, when we talk about the big boys at the next level, a lot of them have already made their money. They've made it to the best league in the world. And if things go sideways for them and they don't get along with the coach well, they go make their money elsewhere. Or if they look and see they've got enough in the bank, they go, adios, it's been fun. 16, 17-year-old kid away from home, whether it's one province over or even a couple of hundred miles, a lot of times he's going to say, I'm too tired, I don't get enough sleep, I can't keep up with my studies. All of a sudden, you're a whiner, outside looking in, career over before it starts.
Yeah, no question. And I think, again, that travel issue, the money's another issue. It seems as if every time this comes up as a main issue, the leagues do find a way to scrimp together some more money, even though, you know, the organizers will say that a third of the teams in the CHL are losing cash. They'll find some way to increase that monthly stipend and try to, you know, put off the discussion for another time. But I think you're absolutely right. There's many issues there that you know, maybe the provincial governments could step in and help to take a look at as well, or labor arbitrators. I don't know. I think we're still in early days with this. And you know, one difference from the last time around, the 2012 effort, which, you know, fizzled in scandal because the Gumblies, one of them was the spokesman of this union effort, but was using an alias and wasn't telling reporters who he really was, which kind of doomed it from the start.
Yeah.
This time around, at least you have, you know, the biggest private sector union in Canada. Unifor is used to organizing companies like Toyota, so they have experience where they didn't in the past. I think that, you know, at least ensures that this is going to be something that doesn't go away in the near future.
Rick, in Ontario, you know, and even here at times, there's a lot of people, you know, we say we're a hockey nation, but we're likely an NHL nation, not necessarily junior hockey. And a lot of people don't seem to take it as serious. How do you think this would impact different in the Ontario League compared to the Western League, if any?
Oh, I don't think I'm the person to answer that question. I barely, I couldn't tell you all the teams in the Ontario Hockey League. I just come back into sports writing pretty recently after working as a foreign correspondent. But I think you're right. It's almost like the, you know, Toronto and the Ontario markets are a real tough one to read for junior hockey, for any sports other than, you know, maybe the Blue Jays and the Raptors and Leafs. And we've seen that in junior hockey, just with the teams that have really struggled in the GTA area to make a go of it. But, you know, in terms of trying to figure out how it would play out and, you know, where the money might go, who can say? These are all mostly private businesses. And one thing that does, you know, reminds me of the NHL in a way is when we're having these discussions, it's all too easy for the commissioner, for the team owners to talk about how a third of the teams are losing money, a third of them are barely getting by, and maybe the other third are making money. I mean, does that not sound exactly like the same message that the NHL was giving us before the last lockout?
Yep.
And now, only a couple years later, we're talking about record profits, and hockey's never been better, right?
Oh, well, hockey's always great right after they sign a deal. Yeah. And then the year before the CBA is about to expire, that's when everything suddenly, the sky is falling. Yeah, it's amazing how that works, isn't it, Rick?
Rick, I mean, dollars and sort of, you know, payment for services rendered, whether you want to call it a stipend, an allowance, whatever, that's one thing. It seems to me, though, there's room here. If the teams are serious about effecting change that benefits the young men and helps in their development, we see it in the NHL now with mandated time off, whether it, you know, you add up your travel week and your practice week and your games. These are just kids. They need to do their schoolwork. It's done on the bus a lot of the time. There should be some allowance for how long you're on the clock between games and practices where you get a break and you don't have to be doing something team-oriented. It seems to me there's a lot of places where this could take effect in a reasonable way without there being dollars involved.
No, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, you know, Lupien talked about one of the comments that he made to me that really struck home was where he says, you know, look at how few of these players. I think we all can accept that major junior hockey is the best development amateur league in the world. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But how many of those players actually go on to an NHL career? How many are drafted? Of those, how many actually sign a contract? How many of those sign a second NHL contract? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the number is, but I think we would all agree it's very low. And if we accept that most of the players who are in junior actually never go on to a long pro career, then it's worth contemplating what Gilles Lupien says when he says, you know, these guys, when they're 30 years old, it's too easy for people to look at them and say, oh, they're just dummies. They're hockey players. It's not their fault. From the time they're 15, 16 years old, you know, in the name of becoming a better hockey player, they and those around them were sacrificing their real opportunities for a strong Canadian education, and I don't think that's fair.
Very true, Rick. This is, I think, a lot different than it was 2 years ago. I don't think it's going away as easy, and there's going to be a much bigger fight and maybe a lot better, different ending. We appreciate your time.
I'm grateful, guys. Take care.